Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
O'clock hour, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be back there in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, all sorts of pre-owned inventory, and an excellent service department and sales staff. That's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We'll get to Mark Brennan of On3 Sports in a moment with the latest on Penn State football. Lots to get into him with that. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. Russell Westbrook lining it up and dunking it down for the Lakers in a big win against the Celtics last night.
Josh Richardson guarding Westbrook. There he goes, right to the rim again, and he dunked it. He just dunked right on top of him. Michael, they can't stop him. Russ mocks for the, poses for the crowd, and then comes over and says, "Are you not entertained?" Lakers by 19. Westbrook has 23 points. LA 89. Celtics 70.
And that is the call on ESPN LA 710 as the Lakers getting it done, trying to put all those big pieces together still. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition and if it stays that way. You never know with the out there in Lakerland. But that is our play-by-play call of the day. And now, we have Mark Brennan on the line now with On3 Sports, who's going to join Steve here in a moment. And lots to get into with Mark about this, Steve.
Mark, first of all, welcome, and congrats to your daughter, Grace, on the great job she did. Camera all season long. She took some phenomenal shots.
I appreciate it, Steve. As a long-suffering Phillies fan, I would take like a 60-game series.
Yeah.
But with respect to Grace, our primary photographer Harvey Levine was out with an injury, but he was still able to help her significantly. And one of the great things is all the pro photographers really pitched in and helped her. So she did a nice job. But the sense of community, even from competitors, helping a young person was just really cool and heartening to see. So I thank you very much.
Yeah, it's that's great. And it is a really close-knit fraternity. There's no getting around it. All right, so let's get to the Penn State news of it. Let's start with the bowl game. Penn State hasn't been there in 11 years. What kind of factor do you think maybe that ended up playing in the decision?
Yeah, I think that's big. I also think the fact that Penn State's a huge television draw. I mean, there's no two ways about it. You know, I don't know if people realize this, but as up and down as this past season was, Penn State was on national ABC telecast six times. That's a program record. I mean, that's telling you something. ABC is not putting Penn State on just because it likes Penn State, right? ABC is putting Penn State on six times because Penn State is generating viewers.
Right.
And I think when you're the Outback Bowl, what's the key for the Outback Bowl? Number one, to try to get fans there. I think with Arkansas being involved, that'll really help. And obviously, there are a lot of Penn State alumni in Florida, but also generating television viewership. And I know there's other games going on at that time, but you know, to me, it's another example of Penn State almost always gets the best possible bowl available.
Right.
Almost always. You know, it doesn't happen every single time, but in the vast majority of situations, you know, we're not talking about playoffs. We're talking about when the bowls have to make the decision based on how many fans are going to be there, based on the television viewership. Penn State has the authentics on that, and it has the history to back it up.
Right. There's no question about that. And you can just see the numbers, just the pure numbers, that when Penn State's there, they draw. And that makes a big difference. Now the question will be, who will be there? The vast majority of them will be there. Is this something that we won't probably find out until we get to probably a bowl media day or something like that?
Yeah, that's my guess. You know, I really hope like a Jahan Dotson plays, just because he's been such a joy to watch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would understand it if he didn't. But you know, the guy that I thought handled this type of situation really well was Saquon.
Yes, exactly.
They limited what he did, gave Miles Sanders more carries. But he still played. He still represented the program and represented the program extremely well at the Fiesta Bowl. And, I would hope that, you know, for some of the better players, if they're trying to make those decisions, maybe they look at how Saquon handled it. And obviously it didn't hurt him at all. And I think that worked out really well. So, you know, from my own selfish perspective, seeing a guy like Dotson play one more time I think would be great, but I would also understand it if he decided to not do it.
What do you think about the matchup with Arkansas?
I haven't looked into Arkansas enough yet. You know, still trying to look at dealing with hoop stuff and Penn State stuff and the coaching searches and who's going where and all that that sort of stuff, the transfer portal, all that stuff. But you know what I like is it's two traditional programs. And I think that was part of
what went into
the matchup as well.
That has never played.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. Did you know that? I mean, I'm
yes,
sure
I
you
did.
Know that,
no,
you
I knew
know
that.
Everything.
But I did know that.
I figured at some point in the 60s or the 70s, you know, Joe would have played them somewhere. But it's amazing that it never happened. I guess Arkansas hasn't quite been at the same level as Penn State for a lot of years. And I don't mean that as a knock, but I mean, Arkansas hasn't really been to the Outback Bowl, right? I mean,
they've never gone.
It's incredible to think, right? So when you think of all the times Penn State's played at Tennessee, in a bowl game, or I mean, it just to me, it kind of blows my mind that they've never played, and I really like that aspect of it. You know, I know that it's been, excuse me, on a lot of these trips, it's been fun getting to know the media and the fans from places like Tennessee, from LSU, because they're really good fans. You know, mm-hmm. they really get after it, and I think there's a mutual respect. And so that part of it, I'm looking forward to. I know, our writer down at the guy who runs our Arkansas site, it's a tremendous site. He does a great job. I've known him for a while. So I think fans getting to know fans from the respective schools is going to be a big part of this.
Obviously, Brent Pry is at Virginia Tech. Everybody's waiting to see what happens with Anthony Poindexter. Any read on the staff right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm anxious to see what they do with the defensive coordinator position, because as you know, there are some really good people on this staff. I mean, I love mm-hmm. Terry Smith. I think he's yep. been a great representative. Would love to see him get an opportunity. But I also know that James Franklin has to do his due diligence and look outside the program. But the one thing I would say, Steve, is that James, what he's done, and I haven't posted it yet because I'm waiting for all this to shake out, but the coaching tree he's developed in 8 years has been mind-blowing. Yeah. I mean, it really is. I mean, people can be critical of performance in tight games or anything else, but you know, now you're looking at it's four BCS coaches, head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it could be five, depending on what happens with Poindexter. I mean, that's unbelievable.
I know. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, you look at guys who have gone on to be coordinators as well. I mean, it's pretty impressive what he's been able to do. And why I bring that up, not just to praise James Franklin, but I think what he's done is he's made Penn State an attractive place for coaches to go because they know they can use that to help further their careers.
Yeah.
And let's face it, that's what, as much as people may not like it, as much as people got used to coaches being around forever, it doesn't happen anymore. It just doesn't. You look at the vast majority of well-respected coaches, assistant coaches, you go look at their wiki page and see everywhere they've been. And now it's even happening with head coaches. I mean, Lincoln Riley, Kelly. I mean, guys just aren't staying places for a long time. And so to me, it's important as a head coach that the best assistant coaches are able to look and say, okay, well, what has he done? How has he helped prepare coaches to take that next step? And I think that's one of the most underrated parts of James Franklin that I do not think people appreciate is the infrastructure that he's built, the attention to detail, to every little detail. Why is that important? Well, it's important for all the things that we were talking about before James Franklin got his extension, but it's also important because the people who work with him realize what it takes. You know, Brent Pry, think when Brent Pry went and interviewed with Virginia Tech that he wasn't relying heavily, not just on X's and O's. You know, listen, there are a lot of great X's and O's coaches out there.
Mm-hmm.
But you need guys who are going to be able to tell you what the plan is for recruiting, what your vision is for the future of the infrastructure of the team facilities and all of those different things. And you know James Franklin as well as anybody, and you're around him enough to understand the insane, and I mean that in a good way, attention to detail that that man has.
Yep.
And that's what people are looking for anymore in coordinators and head coaches, and that's why this has been a good launching pad for people.
Right, because they pick up on that example, and believe me,
right.
James is always looking around saying, did I miss something? And he'll go through it and he'll rack his brain until he finds what he may have missed or best practice that he needs to go with, and that rubs off on other coaches.
And I would argue, Steve, that sometimes that may be to a fault where he is so invested in every aspect of the program that maybe it's a little bit too much. And that's me speaking. I respect him immensely as a person, as a coach. But I wonder if sometimes if it wouldn't be better if he could turn his mind off and not focus about every single detail. But that's never going to happen because that's the way he's wired.
No, let's go back to an answer he gave a year ago. A year ago, with COVID, he was so, and then he finally said, "Look, I've told the doctors and the trainers, you've got to take care of it. I got to coach." So I mean, so there's a point where he realizes too that, hey, wait a minute, I can't be too invested. I got to be in that part of it. I've got to rely on the professionals to do it, and he did that last year. So that, if everyone remembers the answer he gave on that.
And that's a great example, sure.
Yep. If I ain't starting, I'm departing. Welcome to the transfer portal. Any surprises with Penn State so far?
No, I'm actually surprised there hasn't been more motion. You know, I wonder if there aren't some players who are waiting to graduate and that sort of thing, which is understandable. And people have to realize that the portal, and we've seen it with Penn State players, you know, there are many instances where guys are leaving, and it's a win-win for the player and for Penn State to open up scholarships. And that's not a knock on the players. Some players who just aren't going to make an impact at this level are able to go to a different level. Now, I'm not saying that was the case with Will Levis, but Kuntz, the tight end, you know, he was going to have trouble playing a lot. So, you know, he ends up going with Ricky Ronnie and has a really good year. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. So I think you might see more action. I think we might see some more action when the spring semester, if I could spit it out, gets here. Because people, you have to remember that for these players, if they want to graduate next spring, they can't enter the portal, graduate from Penn State next spring. They can't enter the portal now. Right. I mean, it just wouldn't make sense. So you enroll for the spring, and that's why we see early in the spring semester, and it's not the greatest thing, but it's the way the system is.
Right.
Once the player's enrolled for the spring and Penn State has committed to paying for their tuition, then you see some guys popping into the portal. Is that right? I don't know, but it's the way the system is, and don't blame the player. Hate on the system. Don't hate on the player for the way that works.
Exactly.
That's the way it is.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Don't hate on the player for them looking around saying, okay, this is how it works. I got to make it work for me. Basketball. Obviously, you haven't really had a chance to see Greg Lee. Obviously, I have. But, you know.
Yeah.
But just having another capable, bigger body out there, what can that mean, do you think, for Penn State?
Yeah, you know, I think, and we saw it with Jelani White, right?
Yeah.
That early in the season, he was an offensive rebounding machine, but now that the competition has gotten better, he's so thin. Mm-hmm. And it's not as if Greg Lee is a 240-pounder, but whatever he weighs, he looks like he's more put together.
He's put together, and he's a good rebounder, Mark. He really is.
And that's even just having somebody beyond what you just need, it's too much for John Hara. You know, I mean, he's out there in the level that he plays at, the amount of effort that he puts out. He is never going to be able to play much more than 30 minutes. And ideally, you'd like to be able to play him 25. And that's not a knock on him. It's because he's in there, you know, being as physical as anybody could possibly be, and you know it's only going to get worse when they get into the grind of the Big Ten schedule. So, yeah, I mean, if and when he's able to come back. And, you know, I'm anxious to see what if and when Scott is able to play.
Right.
Can he help you a little bit? Because he's not the tallest guy, but he's got some beef to him.
Right.
But for now,
he's a good passer too, Mark. Very good passer.
Yeah. But for now, I mean, my hat goes off to Hara, to John, because he is the physicality that he's playing with is just unbelievable. And listen, we know what he's about offensively, but I think he's actually gotten better at finishing around the rim and stuff.
Yes.
Again, that's going to be more difficult against the bigger opponents. But you know, when you have him out there basically with four guards a lot of times, that's a challenge.
Yet, since probably about halftime of the Cornell game, since Jalen Pickett has looked like Jalen Pickett, what does he mean to what they're doing out there at both ends of the floor?
Yeah, and that's, I thought that Micah Shrewsbury made a great point, is that everybody tends to focus in on what he's doing offensively, but he did a really nice job defensively against Ohio State. And there were some really talented players out there, as you know, for Ohio State, but I think just a level of consistency. And that's what's missing from Sessoms recently. I mean,
you know,
he was really consistent through the first four or five games of the season, and now you're not seeing that consistency. And that's where, and listen, I completely get it, because I think at the end of the day, we have to remember that you are still dealing with this mishmash of players from all different areas.
Yep.
And it's kind of amazing that they are where they are at this point. I know people complain, yeah, they should have won more games, but you know, I would argue that this hasn't been the easiest juggling act. And I think when we found out that the sickness, what that played in that UMass game.
Yeah.
But yeah, and with respect to Pickett, having a consistent player out there, it just is so important that you know what you're going to get from somebody on both ends of the floor, night in and night out, because Seth Lundy is going to be up and down. We've seen that.
Yeah.
Ideally, you'd like him to be more consistent. Sessoms has been up and down. So I think if you can get Pickett to be that one consistent force, and then you hope that one of those other guys in the backcourt is going to be consistent, or, you know, the backcourt or even small forward where Lundy's playing. Well, I guess he's actually playing big forward a lot, but you get my point.
Yep.
They just need a couple guys to be consistent. You can't have just one guy being consistent. You can't.
Mark, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you very much.
Yep, no problem. I appreciate it. I'll see you tonight, Steve.
And then we'll close out with Matt Complaints. No?
Sounds about right.
I mean, you know, it's a, are you like this at home?
Depends on the day.
Depends on the day? What are you talking about? Depends on the day. You got to be kidding me. And if Mike from Lansdale wants to come back and give us a call. By the way, I know we got to take a break here. I often talk to my class. I want you to be second and right instead of first and wrong. We're getting a lot of first and long and wrong. Anthony Poindexter is staying at Penn State unless something dramatic happens. Okay? You're going to have practice tomorrow. Mike Yurcich is going to run the offense, and Anthony's running the defense tomorrow. James has to be in Tampa for an Outback Bowl press conference. Okay? Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Hey, don't forget, I talk about the service department. Fabulous and at inspections. All right, that's something you got to keep in mind. Fabulous at inspections. So many items that they can take care of. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. The Eagles are not playing tonight, so Matt's not complaining.
Correct.
Really kind of a scary dude, man.
I've been told.
Really? I mean, it's scary. Do you wake up consumed with hate, and it does anything make you happy?
Oh, there are things that do.
I mean, it's things we can talk about on the air. No, just kidding. All right. Just checking. I'm just making sure, you know. It's just, you know, I worry about you. Just worry. Although I feel like this is a great stress reliever show for you.
Also true.
You know, allows you to talk it out. You know, get it off your chest. I think that's important.
Yes.
I feel like I'm a calming influence on you.
That is correct.
Yeah. Lisa's probably even told you that.
Yes, she has.
All right. Anthony Poindexter is going to stay at Penn State. I think a lot of people have been wondering. But again, there are all these reports. He's going, he's going, he's going. I'm looking around going, what? Just, like, let it play out. Okay? Now, the Penn State secondary will not have to worry about Treylon Burks of Arkansas. And 40% of the passing game goes to Treylon Burks. Burks opted out of the Outback Bowl today. So, Burks, gone. See, I feel like we're giving you news here.
Well, that's right.
All right. So, women's basketball. Men's basketball is tonight, Wagner at the Jordan Center. Now, we got Santa tonight from 6 to 7. Sunday, little Luke, little Mark will be there. They'll be yanking on Santa's beard, talking to the Magic Radio, but not yet.
Not yet. I could definitely assure you of that.
Well, Mark, no. I mean, does Luke have any clue?
Somewhat, and we actually tried a visit to Santa at the Susquehanna Valley Mall the other day, and a little nervous, so I think we're still working up to that point.
Mommy, Daddy, who's the old guy? Oh, jeez. Great. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. All right, men's basketball tonight, Wagner at 7. Women's basketball tomorrow with Rutgers. So with that, let's talk to bring in Carolyn Keeger, the head basketball coach of the Lady Lions. Coach Keegs, great to have you with us. Appreciate you.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
It's great to have you. It's great to have you on. Always appreciate you very much.
Right back at you.
Let's get to this. The other night, right, so this will be a football metaphor, but it goes obviously to any sport. The other night, the Patriots were able to execute what? This great game plan, because they played with the lead the entire time and they never had to change. How important is it for your team in games to get to leads and then play with them?
Well, I think definitely for us, you know, being a younger squad that's trying to find their chemistry, trying to find their rhythm, trying to find their floor general, really important. You know, that confidence piece, that performance piece, when you start to see the ball go in, when you start to see success, is contagious, right? I think for us, you know, we've had a stretch where we've been on the road for, you know, the last six games, and we can't wait to get back in front of our fans to gain some momentum and get back into BJC.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. Because when there's a low moment, the fans can spur you. When it's a high moment, the fans can really lift you, and you guys have not had that component.
No, and I tell you what, you know, we really challenged this team this season on purpose with our schedule to go on a long road trip, because eventually we want to be playing in March, and that's what it's going to take. It's going to be, you know, being on the road and then NCAA tournament where you don't get your own routines, you don't get your own gym to practice in, and you have to, you know, learn on the fly and have film sessions on the fly, and that's what we wanted to do early in the year to prepare. And obviously, you know, we played some great competition. We've played three teams in the top 20 for, you know, net ranking already, so really wanted to challenge our team to prepare us for Big Ten play coming up here.
And, of course, Big Ten play comes up with Rutgers. We'll get to that in a moment. Have you gone through in terms of combinations on the floor, and do you have a better feel for which combinations seem to work better than others at this point?
Yes, I think we're getting there. I think we have a group that early on in the year was going to be by committee. And obviously you want to have that fluidity and getting that playing group together. With Kelly Jaycott getting back to near 100% now, I think that's going to help with our sustainability with the certain lineups. You know, I look to her to continue to get more minutes here as she's gaining more momentum, getting back to full strength here. So that's obviously going to help, and a big key, I think, to why we've been trying different lineups.
What Kelly's length, what does that mean for the ability for her to see the floor and maybe see a cut before that cut starts?
Yeah, no, that's a huge advantage for her. She has, you know, that guard mentality and that high IQ, but in a swing or a forward body that can, you know, really see passing lanes, that can think two passes ahead. And honestly, we've really been missing her forward general IQ on the court this year, and she's continued to get more minutes here in this last week. But I would expect her to play a lot more against Rutgers, and really that's going to be, I think, a catalyst and a jumping off point for our team.
Rutgers is interesting, Coach, because obviously it's Viv's team. I mean, it's her team, but she's not coaching it. So is there any difference in, because every coach has to eventually do what they think at the moment is best, is there any difference in how they play with her not on the sideline?
I think so. I mean, I think Tim's running some different stuff. You know, he's changing things up lineup-wise. They're playing a lot of players, a lot of different minutes. so their subbing rotations are pretty sporadic. And I think Rutgers is trying to find their identity right now. You know, obviously they're going to be the same hardworking, in-your-face, aggressive defensive team. But offensively, I think they're trying to find what makes them click without, you know, Viv on that sideline.
Every game counts, obviously, but I've always used this analogy. You can go 3-for-29 in spring training, and on opening day, you go 2-for-4, you're hitting .500. So this is the, you know, this is the Big Ten now, right? What would it mean for just to not only get on track, but you get out of the gate with a W at home?
I think it's going to be huge for us, a huge momentum shift, a huge momentum builder. You know, we've had a tough stretch here in a row where we knew it was going to challenge us. We knew it was going to prepare us mentally and emotionally for Big Ten play. And I think that's just sorry, I'm in the gym here.
That's okay.
That just gives us momentum, you know, going into a little finals break here and then before Christmas.
It's believe me, I've been in the gym before. I think,
and that's a good thing. Our players are getting up reps.
That's exactly right. You know, you've got games, obviously. This is the last week of classes. Next week will be finals. So for a coach, how tricky can this time of the year be when you're trying to make sure you're getting practice work in, but they're getting the academic work in too?
I actually honestly love this time of year. You know, the players have a different schedule that we get a lot more individual work than team practice. So you get a lot of time to spend individual film. The players get some individual workouts in when they have time in between their studies. And I think this is a really good time to build, you know, just relationships with your players because practice times are different. Practice slots are different and you got to be creative. So this week, honestly, for me is always a big, you know, builder of confidence individually for each of the players.
All right. When you look at the end of quarters, beginning of quarters, certain things can happen for you on positive sides. How do you feel like your team has handled end of quarter situations? And have you had enough of those, what I refer to as the two for nuns?
Two for nuns. Yeah. I mean, for us, we've had, you know, a couple games now where the score hasn't allowed us to have 2-for-1 opportunities or to have, you know, situational stuff. And then we've had close games. So we've kind of been in a couple different scenarios for us to work on that stuff. I think for us, where we're really building that, you know, late game scenarios or those end of quarters or those after timeout scenarios has been with our practice squad in practice. You know, we have a practice team of guys that are coming consistently, and you know, we have 6'7", we have 6'6", we have 6'5", and they're coming every day and really being physical with us. And that's honestly leading into Big Ten, what's been helping us the most.
When it comes to turnovers, how badly does this team need to cut down a turnover so you stay away from empty possessions?
Oh, huge. I mean, we started off the year phenomenal in that category.
Yeah.
You know, assist to turnover ratio, we were first in the country at one point on that. And then, you know, recently we've gotten a little shaken up by some pressure and, you know, maybe lost our confidence in a couple possessions here or there. But we got to get it back. And honestly, that's ball movement, that sharing the basketball, that's making the great shot versus the good shot. And I would expect that Rutgers would be a phenomenal opportunity for us to practice that against a pressure defense.
The late, great John Wooden said, be quick, don't hurry. Had there been times where they've hurried a little bit, which has caused a turnover?
I think so. You know, I definitely think that their brains are trying to catch up to the level that we need to be at IQ-wise to beat top 10 teams. And we're trying to play, obviously, at the pace we want to play while thinking the game. You know, so we say that maybe 15 times a practice, play fast but don't hurry. And, you know, we talk a lot about it as, obviously, we talk it in threes. You want to push tempo, we want to be patient, and then we want to punish the help. So we talk about, you know, our three Ps a lot. You know, obviously, you're going to push in advantage opportunities when you have, you know, transition opportunities with two on ones or 3-on-2s or 4-on-3s. And then your patience category kind of comes into your secondary offense when the team might not be set and you're flowing. And then punish is punishing the half court defense. And honestly, where we're struggling right now is punishing in the half court. You know, that late shot clock, that, you know, 15 seconds left where we need to find a bucket and they're kind of locking up McKenna and we need a secondary score.
Is that the ability of somebody then that to break down somebody off a dribble to make a play because it's late shot clock?
Yeah, well, definitely. You know, more playmakers with the confidence to be able to put the ball in their hands. And I think a lot of times we've been relying on Kenna to bail us out, you know, late shot clock or hit a miraculous shot that she's been doing all season. But we need all five to be confident scorers for us. And the team's put in probably our best practices of the year the last 2 days. So a lot of momentum shift, and I'm excited.
That was about to be my next – you anticipated my next question because look – it's, you know, when you go out and get out there, I don't care whether you win or lose. That next practice or practices happen to be your response. How do you respond? Yep. And it sounds like your team has responded in the right way to it.
Absolutely. And this group, you know, they're phenomenal to coach. They have the right mindset. They're together. They're bought in. Obviously, we took our hits here in the beginning. I think we're way better of a team than our record shows right now.
No doubt.
And that's exciting leading into Big Ten play because I think we can really do some damage, and I think we still can put ourselves in a position to make an NCAA tournament. We don't have, you know, a bad loss yet. You know, we have learning opportunities, and we've had, you know, lessons to learn from failures, which every coach hates to do, but that's part of the process. You know, you can't become successful. You can't become Big Ten champs until you learn how to fail and you learn how to grow from those failures. And the biggest thing we keep talking about is, you know, we have to learn lessons. We have to get better. We have to execute more. And when we do have a poor turnover or a bad possession, let's not repeat it. Let's not repeat it the same way. And I think this group is a lot more mature than we've been in the last 2 years.
Well, Rutgers is the first step in that direction. Best of luck tomorrow night with this one because you have a great chance to get right back on track.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you.
We are.
Joining us, Mike in Lansdale's been holding. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Steve. I want to talk about the Des Holmes transfer. I was disappointed that he didn't start this year because I'll be honest with you, I thought he was better than what they had at left guard. Would you not have seen him having a chance to start next year?
All right. Des is an interesting case. Des was hurt during the course of the spring, so that didn't help his cause. And then when they came back, Wormley won the left guard job. I mean, Wormley won it. Holmes could never get on track at both guard and at tackle. He just couldn't get on track. Part of it was, you know, he'd been banged up. Part of it, too, is that you've got to be engaged in what's going on. Because there are times where I'm not so sure he had a handle on every element of the playbook, to be fair. So there's a lot that goes into this. If you're not there, then I think then, you know, you look at him and say, because I expected him coming out of the spring to have a chance to start. Midway through the preseason, I could tell he wasn't going to do it.
That's surprising. And but of course you're not there, and I'm not. Not if you're standing there.
If you're standing there, it's not surprising.
Yeah, and with the wide receiver situation, now I know Malik Mega has a lot of potential to be be pretty good. But do you see any of the other young kids that have a chance to be really good besides him?
Well, I think the two guys that stand out to you right away are Harrison Wallace and Liam Clifford. I think both of them. I think Wallace down the road is going to be a good wide receiver here at Penn State. Liam Clifford is more of a possession guy that can help an offense. He's not a game breaker. Wallace can beat you deep. So those are the two young guys at wide receiver that to me have a shot to break through in the lineup next year for them. And then we'll see. Then I'll talk more about the recruits a week from today, one in particular.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's always that one, a parent, grandparent, your boss, that one person on your Christmas list who's impossible to buy for. But there's something everyone needs, water. Tulpehockin Mountain Spring Water, the freshest and purest. Set up a monthly delivery for anyone on your gift list. It's guaranteed to be used, appreciated, and helps keep your loved ones healthier throughout the year. Visit TulpehockinWater.com and choose your deliveries to home or the office. Tulpehockin Mountain Spring Water, Northumberland.
All right. Well, great to have you with us. Yeah, I think they're, I believe Penn State's scheduled to practice tomorrow. And Mike Yurcich and Anthony Poindexter are going to be running the practice tomorrow. James, I believe, has to be in Tampa tomorrow for an Outback Bowl press conference. Treylon Burks of Arkansas will not play in the game. Now, this is a guy that had over 1,100 yards receiving. He's got 40% of the receiving yards this year. So he will not be playing in the game. Made the announcement on Instagram or, I don't know, Twitter or something. I don't know. It's like it's a whole bunch of words. You're just looking for the word. I'm not going to be playing in the game. I mean, it's about the only sentence you need to put in there. But, you know, there's a lot of love for everybody in the face of the earth. And, you know, I love you so much, I'm leaving. You know, that played out pretty well. I always love that. You see these long, long posts, right? Well, the only part you're interested in is the part whether you're staying or going. No offense. But Burks is going to enter the draft. And, hey, can you blame him? I mean, like, this guy's a 6'3", wide out, 66 catches, 1,104 yards, 11 touchdowns. They also gave him the ball on the ground. He rushed for 112 yards and a touchdown. Big time player. No getting around it. Big time player. But we will not see him in the Outback Bowl unless he's wearing sweats on the sideline. Great to have you with us on the show today. Thanks to Mark Brennan, Carolyn Keeger for joining us on the show. Because we had so many guests, it kept Matt's complaints down to a minimum. What?
Much to the audience's pleasure, I'm sure.
Is there a staff meeting this week?
Already had it.
Yeah, how'd you get through that?
Do other stuff.
No, I didn't mean Mertzi, I meant you.